So it's the first Sunday of Christmas. It's New Year's Day. It's the eighth day of Christmas. That, by the way, is, if you recall, eight maids of milking. And literary critics say that's for the eight Beatitudes in Matthew's Gospel. Blessed are those who are poor in spirit, those who mourn, the meek, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, the merciful, the pure in heart, the peacemakers, and the persecuted. If you're thinking about New Year's resolutions, those eight might be a good place to start. Today is also, for many of us, a day of reflection on the year past and maybe reflection on hopes for the year ahead. But here's what comes to mind for me about the year just past. It has, at turns, seemed to race by, and at other times seem to plod like the proverbial tortoise. What comes to mind? Dickens. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. It was the age of wisdom. It was the age of foolishness. It was the epoch of belief. It was the epoch of incredulity. It was the season of light. It was the season of darkness. It was the spring of hope. It was the winter of despair. We had everything before us. We had nothing before us. We were all going direct to heaven, and we were all going direct the other way. That, of course, is from A Tale of Two Cities, the historical novel about London and Paris in the years before and during the French Revolution. But remember the story you heard a week ago from Luke's Gospel? In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. It was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. Strange for a timeless story to be so specific about who was in charge. He was careful, Luke was, careful to make clear that God became human in a particular time, a particular moment in history. And it's a reminder to us that we should probably pay attention to the moments in history. What's going on in the world now, so that we don't focus so much on eternity, pie in the sky, by and by. Because if we do that, we can miss God's presence in the everyday, in the down-to-earth ticking of the clock, the pages on the calendar. So maybe pay attention to what's going on a particular Sunday morning at 10:20. Time is a gift. It's worth paying attention to. In a few minutes, we're going to remember and celebrate God's coming into history in a tangible way. This morning, here, in this moment in history, Emmanuel, God with us, now at 10:21 on a Sunday morning. But Matthew's Gospel is compelling in a more troubling way to me. Certainly, it's a reminder that God became flesh and lived among us in a particular time and place. But I'm troubled by this story. I don't like it. It's too real and jarring and brutal. One thing amazes me. In Matthew's Gospel, Joseph has at least three dreams. He never speaks, but he has three dreams. I'm amazed that what was going on that Joseph could sleep at all, let alone dream. The prophets of old promised that when Messiah came, things would be different. You know, the wolf and the calf lie down together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox. They shall do no evil or harm in all my holy mountain, Isaiah says. So what happened? I want that to happen. I want God to put a stop to all the craziness and violence and destruction. And I suspect you do too. That's what I pray for. That's what we pray for, certainly, on Sunday mornings. And I don't have a good explanation of why God hasn't made it stop. That's also a major reason that I'm a Lutheran. Because Luther's theology of the cross says we don't get the God we want. We get the God who is. We get the God who became flesh and lived among us and wants us to make it stop. To make the craziness and the violence and destruction end. I want a God who comes to judge those who are the evildoers, destroy those who do evil against their neighbors. Luther spoke of a God who allowed people to do evil against him, even death on a cross, and refused to stop loving his enemies. But I want God to act differently. Anne Lamott, if you don't know that name, Google her. She's a brilliant writer, also a deeply flawed human being, as she writes about. I think you've heard it before. I know I've quoted her often. She puts it this way. You can safely assume you've created God in your own image when it turns out that God hates all the same people you do. Yep. It's a good thing that I don't have the God I want. I want God to get rid of all the Herods in the world and turn them into Mother Teresa's or Gandhi's. Change the hearts and their behavior. I'd like God to make it so that I don't have to make another New Year's resolution. Just fix me. I don't like the story for all kinds of reasons. I don't like that God allows children to die and violent rulers to have such destructive power. But then I've discovered that it's probably a good thing that I don't get what I want. I know how bad it would be if my angry impulses were realized, or for that matter, if my good wishes came true also. It would not be good for me to win the lottery. I know better. I don't like this story because no matter whether it happened exactly the way Matthew tells it or not, I know it's true. That God is in the world, living among us, that God chose and still chooses to live with us here, now, on a Sunday morning, January 1st, 2023, to live with us in the midst of injustice and disease and poverty, that God travels with people who are running from a war in Ukraine and oppression in Iran and violence in Central America, that God sits with people in psychotherapy or chemotherapy, that God lives with suffering people and goes, the story says, wherever people are suffering. I don't like that it keeps happening, but all my hope is pinned on the God who is with us, not the one I want, but the one who is with us through all those things. And is also waiting on the other side of all those things to welcome us home when the running away is over. We get glimpses of what that day will be like when we gather with family and friends, when we enjoy the gifts, the blessings that God gives us, when a new year or a new chance at a different way of living emerges, when we experience forgiveness, when we see God in the face of someone who chooses to love.